So let us start. And you know, every time we keep learning, and I think we've started understanding about the kingdom of God. And today we are going to learn about the battle of the kingdoms. Amen. We're going to understand about the battle of the kingdoms. And I think we know when we speak of a battle, we speak of a war, we speak of warfare, we speak of the challenges that are there. And it's something that I pray that God will help us to understand. Amen. So just take a recap. What is a kingdom? We say that a kingdom is a sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory. So when we speak of a kingdom, we speak that the king has a territory, the king and the domain. So kingdom, we divide it into two, king and domain. The dom stands for domain. So we speak that a kingdom is where a king exercises his influence over his territory. And therefore he imparts it with his will, his intent, his purposes. And kingdoms, they exist to govern. You know, they exist to govern. And kingdoms run on power and authority. So for you to be a king, you must have power. And for you to govern legitimately, you must have the authority. So kingdoms have power and authority, and this enable them to govern. Now, whenever there's a battle for kingdoms, the stronger kingdoms will always defeat the weaker kingdoms. Anytime, let's say, a big country decides to invade this country, if we know they are big, we will surrender. Why? Because they will invade and they will take over. So kingdoms usually invade other kingdoms to expand territory. Any kingdom that is worthy of its salt wants to occupy territory. So when you speak about kingdoms, there are about seven classes of kingdoms that we have. We have the kingdom of God, which is the overall administration of the kingdom of God. That means God in heaven, the angels, but everything that is created belongs to the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. The second kingdom that we have, which is not really a legitimate kingdom, but is an illegitimate kingdom because God did not create the kingdom of Satan. So, but is a satanic kingdom. The kingdom of Satan is the second kingdom that we know, but it is not a legitimate kingdom because it was not established by God. That is a kingdom that appeared out, and that is why he looks for a place, and we will see that. Then the third kingdom are the kingdoms of men. We see that in the world we have kingdoms of this nation, kingdoms of India, kingdoms of various kingdoms, and they classify them as either parliaments, parliamentary system, republics, all that. So they are kingdoms of men. Within the kingdoms of men, you'll find music. There are those who are idols in music. There are those who are idols in politics, in the media. And they are systems of control. You go to the UN, you go to the organizations. Those are systems and the kingdoms of men. So in the realm of men, there are kingdoms. Then after men, then you have the kingdoms of animals. So you have the animal kingdom, where they say the king is the lion. But I don't know, when the lion meets the elephant, he runs away. But anyway, the lion is the king. Then below the animals, the kingdom of animals is the kingdom of plants. Now, plants also have their own kingdom. Then you have the kingdom of insects. And actually, the insects come before the plants. And then beyond that, you have those that are in the microscopic range, which are the microbes. Now, one of the things that you'll realize, each kingdom goes in level of authority. That means that for you to defeat the microbes, you use the plants. Because the plants are greater in their kingdom than the microbes. And that is why quinine and all these drugs are found from plants. When you go to the insects, they eat the plants. So insects are a bit stronger than the plants. And then animals are stronger than the insects. And then man is stronger than the animals. But then it's supposed to be man, then God. That was the original plan. But you see, then something happened in the middle and kingdom of Satan came in between. So when you go to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. It was good. He divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So we can see that in the beginning, God is the creator. He creates the kingdom of God. He creates the heavens and the earth. And Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. That means that when you speak about the kingdoms of heaven and the kingdoms of God, the kingdom of God, it means that there is so much vastness. Remember, there are millions and countless and trillions of angels and also other living creatures that are in the kingdom, are in the supernatural. And all this, God completed it and He rested. And we can see the picture of the kingdom of God. And this is Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him stood the seraphim. Each had one hand. On one hand had six wings, and two He covered His face, two He covered His feet, and two He flew. And they cried out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory. So Psalms 115 verse 16 tells us that the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to mankind. So when we can see that in the plan of God, He has established the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God is for Him, and that was the original plan, but then the earth He has given it for man. But now you see, the devil came in and he desired the throne of God. So, in the heavens, in the kingdom of God, war happened, war broke out. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says that, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, you who wicked the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. Now, in the kingdoms of God, in the kingdom of God, there were angels. Now, there were different kinds of angels. Now, one kind of angel who was a cherub is called Lucifer. He decided that he wants to ascend to the throne of God. He wants to be like the Most High God. So he said he will ascend. And even the Bible calls him that he was the anointed cherub who covers. That means he used to cover the glory of God. Cherubs are those that cover the glory of God. If you see the images of the Ark of the Covenant, above the Ark of the Covenant were the big cherubs that will cover the glory of God. That means when God's presence will come, the cherub will cover. And even God rides on the cherubs, on the wings of the cherubs. The throne of God is on the cherub. When He's moving, He rides on that. Now, Lucifer wanted to do that, and then iniquity was found. And the Bible says that he was cast out. So, Revelation chapter 12 tells us that war broke out in heaven. So, if you think there is war on the earth, it started not just on the earth, it started in heaven. So, the battle of kingdoms started even in heaven, because Satan wanted to overthrow God. And the Bible tells us, Revelation chapter 12 verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. So the Bible is telling us that after Lucifer and the devil was defeated in heaven, no place was found for him. That means he cannot stay there. So now the only place that he can come is the earth. And that's why the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. That is why the devil has established his kingdom on the earth and also in the sea. And that is why you have those issues of the marine kingdom and all that. Now, the kingdom of man. What is the kingdom of man? The kingdom of man is the original plan and purpose that God wanted for man. And that is why Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our own image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them, the men, let the men have dominion. So the men were supposed to be in charge of the earth, the territory, and they are supposed to rule over the fish of the air, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's why all the animals, we are in control of them. Over the air, over the fish, we are in control of that. Why? It was given to man. But now, you see, men were not supposed to dominate other men. You're not supposed to be in dominion of another man. Even God himself does not exercise his dominion over man. Anyone who wants to control you beyond your control, that is witchcraft. Witchcraft is subverting the will of someone and manipulating them for your own benefit. Now, God himself does not control you. If you decide not to come and worship, that's up to you. He won't force you. He has never forced anyone to worship him. That is our God. Now, he makes man, he gives him a garden. He tells him, keep the garden and keep it. The garden of Eden. He plants a garden. Now, in the garden of Eden, God will visit Eden and will visit man very easily. Why? Because it was a place where there was the union of heaven and earth, where the presence of God could come on the earth and visit man in the cool of the day. Now, Satan, remember, has been cast down from heaven. And now he needs to find a place. He needs to establish himself. So what does he do? He also comes to the garden. Now, when he comes to the garden, he comes in the form of the snake. Because the Bible tells us the snake was more cunning than any other creature. So the snake comes and tells Eve, did God really say that you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the snake, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, you shall not touch it, lest you die. Now, we all know that story. So what happens? Eve looks at the tree. She says that the fruit is good for eating. It looks good for wisdom. She took it. She ate it. And the Bible says she gave it to her husband who was with her. That means that Adam was not far away. He was watching his wife talking to a snake, and he was quiet. So he was also to blame. He received the he knows what God said. He takes the, but maybe he did not want chaos. Anyway, he took the fruit, he ate it, and the Bible says immediately their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. Immediately what happens is that they lost their glory. They lost the kingdom that God had given them, the dominion that God had given them. Why? Because in the spirit, there is an unwritten law that says, whoever you choose to obey, you become their slave. And this you will read in Romans 6, verse 16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. The moment Adam and Eve submitted to the devil, they handed over the kingdom. And that is why when Jesus was being tempted, what did the devil say to Jesus? He said that the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Showed him, look, these are all the kingdoms. And what did the devil say? All these kingdoms have been given to me, have been handed over to me, and I can give them to anyone. The question is, who gave the devil the kingdom? It was Adam. Because Adam was supposed to be the ruler over the earth. But he gave away the kingdoms by obeying the devil, and he lost the dominion. So now, Now that the devil took away that dominion, what does he do? He establishes his kingdom on the earth. Now Ephesians 2 verse 2 to 3 tells us, in which you also used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, or the prince of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That means that anyone who is disobedient to God is under the control of the devil. The kingdom, the ruler of this world, of the kingdom of the air, is the devil. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Can you imagine? What the devil does is that he blinds. He blinds the unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel. When you try to speak to someone about the gospel, they don't see it. They say it is foolishness. It is not because they don't know, but there is a blinding that the devil has done. The God of this world age has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the light of the gospel. In fact, even Jesus recognizes the devil as the ruler of this world. In John 14 verse 30 says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing on me. So before Jesus went to the cross, he knew that the devil is still trying to control, he's still in control, he's still in charge of the kingdom of this world, but that is going to change. And even Paul describes him that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, if it is not a great thing if his ministers also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. That means that Satan does not work alone. He also has human beings that partner with him to fulfill the works of darkness. That's why you find there are witches, there are wizards, there are those who do sorcery, mediums, and all those things. They are all works of the darkness. Now, apart from that, we also know that Satan also has a form of government, in that the Bible tells us, Ephesians 6 verse 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, those are princes, against powers who are lower than the princes, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the devil himself also has his kingdom. So he has princes, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, princes over territories. You know, he tries to control people in one way. So you will go to China, he will control them with communism. That is enough to control that whole billion people. He goes to this other place, uses this one of these religions, Islam. He uses it to control that religion. He goes to maybe a place in a place where he uses immorality. And then you find there's so much HIV. So that prince is responsible for those behaviors and those characters that are there. These are demons that don't need to possess anyone. They have their own thrones of darkness. Nothing to worry about. Now, Jesus, whenever he encountered people who are possessed, there's something that used to happen. The demons themselves will recognize that Jesus has come. And they will always cry, they will say, Jesus, Son of God, what do you have to do with us? You can see, and even when he was meeting, like, let's read Matthew 12, verse 22. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and the mute man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of God? Now, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, then he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man, then he can plunder his house. So Jesus was saying, when I am casting out devils, what it means that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Because we say that the greater kingdom displaces the lesser kingdom. So when the kingdom of God comes, it displaces the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of God is light. Whenever light comes, it displaces darkness. And Jesus is saying, even Satan's kingdom is not divided. He does not cast out himself. That's why when you go to a witch doctor to reverse a curse of another witch doctor, they don't reverse it. Because why should they fight themselves? They agree, they say, leave this one for me. They are not anywhere going to help you. You need to come to the greater kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, to overcome the works of the devil. Now, Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Jesus preached the message of the kingdom of God. It says that from Matthew 4 verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, he was trying to say that I am introducing the kingdom of heaven to you. Men, hear this. The last kingdom was given to Adam. Now I have come as the second Adam or the last Adam to restore that authority to the saints. Amen? Matthew 7 verse 28 tells us, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. So when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking with the authority of God. Why? Because he knows the kingdom he has come from, and he knows all the soldiers, all the angels that are backing him. Remember Elisha and the servant. The king of Syria came to attack Elisha just to arrest one man with an army. And the servant was crying, saying, oh, master, we are in trouble. Then Elisha said, God, please open his eyes that he can see those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And there were chariots and chariots of fire. Chariots of angels of fire that were around Elisha. They were not even around that servant. They were around Elisha. That means he knew that he had the kingdom of God within him. That his eyes were open. Now, Jesus taught with authority. And he said something. The kingdom of God does not come by careful observation. Nor will they see here, see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. This is Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is within you. When you accept the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he becomes your king. And you are submitted to him. Then now you can exercise the power of the kingdom of God in your life. That is why we say that the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. That is why the kingdom of God is not in a church. You know, we think that the kingdom of God is where the church is, but the kingdom of God is within you. The power to heal, the power to cast out devils, the power to pray for yourself and to see results is not far away from you. It is within you. And that is why even if you are thrown to prison, it does not mean that your fate should end, because God is there with you. Even if you're in a faraway country, you're alone, it does not mean that your fate should end. If you can meet with brothers, well and good, but if you are alone, you're still with God. Why? Because you are of the kingdom of God. And one of the things that Jesus said, Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, then the end shall come. That means that if we want the end of times to come, we must preach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell people that the kingdom of God has come. So Jesus showed superiority of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of Satan through healing. When someone was brought deaf, blind, mute, all kinds of sicknesses, he healed them. Also, how did he demonstrate? By casting out devils. He cast out devils. Any devil that was brought to him, he cast it out. And that is why Jesus, the Bible tells us, Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Anyone that is oppressed of the devil, when you encounter the kingdom of God, that oppression must end. And if you're facing any oppression, you must know that you must ask the kingdom of God to come in your life. And that is why it says, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come." That saying, "thy kingdom come," is a declaration of war. It is actually a battle of the kingdom. You're asking for the power of God. You're asking for the dominion, the angels, all the authority that God has to come and fight for you. It looks like a simple prayer, but "thy kingdom come" is asking for all the hosts of heaven to come and fight for you. When you pray with revelation, then you experience the results of what you're asking for. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible tells us, "For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus came to destroy every work of the devil. I know people say, "Let us burn the devil." That one is left for the final judgment. We cannot kill demons. You know, some people say, "Demons, you die." Demons do not die, but they will be judged eternally in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is prepared for them. But what we do is we bind them. We hinder their work. We block them. We prevent them. We plunder them. If they have taken possession of someone, we cast out the devil. And that person is made well. When Jesus was sending his disciples, he gave them the power and the authority to preach the kingdom. That means that when you preach the kingdom, you just don't just go with your verbal mouth, because the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but is also a matter of power. The kingdom is preached by the demonstration of the power. And that's what he told them. He gave them Luke chapter 9 verse 1. He called the 12 disciples together and he gave them authority, power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. If we are not preaching the kingdom of God, what are we preaching? We need to preach the authority of the kingdom of God has come, and we heal the sick, we cast out devils, we raise the dead. Why? Because this is the exercise of the power of God. Luke chapter 10 says, "Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two, and he tells them that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest field." When you start to think about kingdom, you will not focus that, "Oh, I belong to this denomination. Oh, I am from this church. I am from these people." No, we are members of the same kingdom of God. We are here to establish the power, the authority of the kingdom of God. And that is why when you move somewhere, when you understand that you are in your office as a representative of the kingdom of God, the moment you sit on your desk, say a prayer to God. Cancel every plan of the enemy. Cancel every works of wickedness in your office. Why? Because if you are silent, the enemy will thrive. The reason why we pray, the reason why we wake up, is to establish the kingdom of God. If you don't establish it, the kingdom of darkness and their people, they are also awake. They are also making their incantations. They are also making their prayers. When they make their prayers, they give their commands to demons. And their demons will also come and oppress. They will oppress your business. They will oppress your job. But if you're not standing up, you're not taking possession of what God expects you to do for the kingdom of God, you're not expanding it, you're not preaching, you're not supporting the kingdom of God, then you're not fulfilling the mandate of the kingdom of God. One of the things the disciples, they came back with great joy. And the Bible says, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Luke 10:17. And he said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes, serpents, and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you." And he says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven," that you are registered in heaven. This is the beauty of God, that in as much as he will give you the authority, the power to establish the kingdom of God, unless you remember that your names are written in heaven, that is the most precious gift that God will ever give us, that he has registered our names in heaven. So Jesus goes to the cross, and on the cross, the Bible says he wiped away every writing, legal writing, handwriting requirement that was against us. And the Bible says, that is Colossians 2:14, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. How did he defeat the devil? He that knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. When God makes you righteous is when you have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I tell you, if the rulers of this world had known, they would not have crucified Jesus. That is what 1 Corinthians 2:7-8 tells us. That this was a wisdom of God that none of the rulers of this age knew. That if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil knew that by crucifying Jesus, he would be restoring the kingdom back to man, he would not have done it. He would have allowed Jesus to grow old. I don't know what would have killed Jesus, because we are never told whether he had any flu or malaria. He might just have stayed and perpetually stayed. But if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because when he resurrected, he tells his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you see, now Jesus starts to establish after his resurrection what we call the kingdom of heaven. You see, it is the kingdom of God, but then now we are establishing the kingdom of heaven. And there is a reason why you need to understand why it is called the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it brings the union of heaven and earth again. After the resurrection, there is a union of heaven and earth. And that's why it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So you, brothers and sisters, go now. Why? Because the authority of heaven and earth has been given to you. And now we have a superior kingdom to the kingdom of Satan. The Christian that is living according to the faith, that is obedient to God, that is faithful in the righteousness of God, now receives the authority of the kingdom of heaven, which is now the union of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, Colossians 1:13. Now, in the kingdom of heaven, we have one king. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians 1 verse 20, he says that, which he worked in Christ, referring to Jesus, when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When God ascended, when Jesus ascended, he filled everything. He filled the heavens, he filled the earth. And the Bible says God placed him at the highest throne and at the right hand of the Father, not a place of right, but the hand of authority, the place of authority. And the Bible says he is far above. When you look at the sky, you can see the sky is far above, right? When you try to see the stars, they are far above. Now, think of how God says how the throne of Christ is. It is far above. And that means every principality, all those princes of darkness, all powers, all might, all dominion, we are far above them. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Christ becomes the King, our King of the kingdom of heaven, and we say the kingdom of heaven is superior to the kingdom of man, is superior to the kingdom of Satan. Why? Because it brings the unity of heaven and earth. In fact, Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now let me show you a picture of the structure of the kingdom of heaven. And this is what we call Zion. Hebrews 12 verse 22. The Bible says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Remember, we spoke about names of those who are registered in heaven. Now, he's saying that in the kingdom of heaven, we are also part of that. And then it says, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Later on that verse says, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So the kingdom of heaven is at Mount Zion, which is in the heavenly Jerusalem, and where Christ is enthroned. Then it says that we have innumerable countless of angels. There are countless of angels. Then we also have the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Who are the firstborn? You and me. So we are there. Then we also have all those who are registered in heaven, the church of the firstborn. Anyone that's name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You are part of Zion, even while you are here on earth. That's why the Bible says the kingdom is we. You. Then, what do we see in Revelation chapter 5? It says that when the angel was saying, and who is worthy to open the scrolls? And no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and looked at it. And I wept because no one was found worthy to read the scroll and to read it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed and is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seal. So, and then the Bible says, and I looked in the midst of the throne. Remember, we are seeing Zion, the throne, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Listen to this revelation. God says that he is there. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That means that he has two images. He is both the lamb that was slain. That means he is there as our altar. That means he is the one that has offered the sacrifice. So when you go to God, we already have a sacrifice that is poured out for us. That is the lamb that has been slain. But you see, when you need the authority of God to speak for you, he is a lion. That's what the Bible says. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. The authority of the kingdom of God is represented by both the Lion and the mercy of God by the Lamb of God. So let's look at the interface between the kingdom of heaven on the earth, because you say the kingdom of heaven is the unity of the kingdom of God, heaven and earth. Matthew 16 verse 15, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That rock is not Peter. That rock is the revelation that he is the Christ. Remember, Christ means he is the anointed king, the anointed Messiah. He is the king. He is, you shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And look at the keys, verse 19. And I will give you, that is the disciples, you, the believers, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That means, and he says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means you're not binding in heaven. It is you that is binding on the earth. How do you bind it? You bind it in prayer. You bind it in fasting. You bind it in studying of the word of God, to know the authority that God has for you. God has won the battle for you, but you need to take possession of the land. If your father leaves you an inheritance and you don't go and possess the land, squatters will take that land and you cannot fight it. The law will give them the land. After 30 years, the land will be theirs. The land was yours, given to you by inheritance. If you don't take possession, the squatters will take it. Now, that is what the devil does. Any Christian that does not know their authority, the devil takes. Any Christian that allows sickness to be in their body, the devil enjoys it. You see, sickness usually comes, it's like a demon. It tries to test. Don't you feel some pain? Now it is for you to accept. Do I feel that pain or do I refuse it? It is looking for somewhere to land. But if you take possession, you say, no, Christ died for my healing. I refuse you, sickness. Sickness has no place in your life. You have to take possession. That's why the keys are not given to God. The keys are given to you. That's why when we tell you pray for yourself, pray. You are watching others. Pray for yourself. I will take possession for myself. And sometimes also for you. So that in case you've come for prayer, we can take possession. But the greatest possession you take for yourself. Why? Because the keys of the kingdom of heaven are given to you. Keys, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. It's starting from here. This is now the kingdom of heaven. Remember, the interface has been established. We've already spoken about the unity of heaven and earth. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the Lord God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Because of your union with Christ. That is why we say united with Christ. I don't know who has ever read here. It says united in Christ. That means that we have the union. We have the power. Take your possession. Take your authority. That is how you can fight and win the battle of the kingdoms. Amen. Let us stand and we thank God for that word.